ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्. Yesterday night we have started the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita called Akshara Brahma Yoga. Arjuna asks 7 questions. In other words, I have put it in simpler words. Who am I? What am I? Where from have I come? Why am I here? What is my origin? Is there a God? Did God create this world? What is this world? What is the nature of this world? What is the meaning of all my actions in life? What is the goal of life? What am I supposed to do in life? How am I going to reach, attain this goal? What is bondage? What is liberation? Who is going to teach me? Will I ever reach my goal? Will I become completely free? This is the essence of this entire chapter, is an explanation of Bhagavan Krishna. One important point here, he says, when human beings leave this body, whichever thought is dominating in their minds, and such people attain to that state of that lost thought. Here thought, not an accidental thought. Let me clarify it before we start the thing. Suppose a person had a dog, and he names it as Narayana. Towards the end, before leaving, he only loves this dog and he calls it Narayana. The name is Narayana, but the thought is about dog. Therefore, he will become a dog next life. Is it a fact? Yes. How do you know? We hear the story of Jada Bharata. It is exactly that is what happened. What is the lost thought means? What is the idea? What is the bhava? What is the real goal we are seeking? Just like when a person's head is on fire, what do you think his thought will be? He may be calling, I want fire by mistake. But what does he really mean? Only water. Just like that, it is not the last sound that comes from his lips, not even the dominant thought, but whatever is the feeling, deep desire, and usually that deep desire alone comes just before death. That desire will not become deep unless we have been practicing ever since we started our sadhana. Therefore, Lord Krishna advises, never for a moment try to think of anything else excepting me, and that is the only way for you to move forward and to attain me. This is what he is going to explain later on to us. But here we are only talking about the other questions. So we have already discussed in answer to Arjuna's questions, what is Brahma? The Lord says, Aksharam Brahma, Paramam Aksharam Brahma, that supreme reality which cannot be described, which we have been trying to describe, Asino Duram Rajati, Shaya No Yati Sarvataha, etc. in the Katha Upanishad, that description is what is telling, that infinite, indescribable, indivisible, unborn, eternal, all-pervading, that reality and that alone exists, that is called Supreme Akshara. Akshara means that which gets destroyed. This Brahman cannot get destroyed because it is eternal. Ajo nityah shashvatoyam purano. So that aksharam Brahma. What is Brahma? Paramam aksharam. That supreme, indestructible, imperishable svabhavaha. And the same Paramatma. If Paramatma is infinite, Paramatma is Purnam, and this world which appears to be broken, divisible, finite, separate from each other, it comes and goes, it changes all the time. All this can come only from God, from Brahman. Therefore, that Brahman in the form of this individual, individual because it is limited by the body and mind. And so we call it Jivatma, Svabhavaha Adhyatmam Uchyate. Dwelling in each body, Brahman is called the individual soul. The third way is Bhuta Bhava Udbhavakaraha Visargaha Karma Sangnitaha. What is karma? That was what Arjuna had asked before. What is karma? That which creates what was not before, and that is called karma. If Ishvara's karma is Srishti, Sthiti and Laya, creation, maintenance and destruction. What are we doing? Exactly same thing we are also doing. Same thing we are also doing. Every single second of our life, we are also creating our fate. Whether we are human beings, animals, plants, whether we are happy beings, unhappy beings. So what is karma? That which creates is karma. That is why he said, Visargaha. Visarga means creativity. That which creates something as something else. Bhuta Bhava Udbhava Karaha. That sacrifice, that karma, which brings into existence all beings and also supports them, is called action. As just now I mentioned, a Brahman's activity is only of threefold: creation, maintenance and destruction. Our karma is also creation, maintenance and destruction. What is the creation here? I am creating my individuality in the form of body and mind. What is maintenance? Whether I am happier or unhappy, or I am lucky, I am unlucky, all these things are created by whom? By us. Through what instrument? By our karma phala. Here something very important we have to know. The body is only an instrument. The mind is also an instrument. A part of that mind is called knowledge. It is this knowledge responsible. A wicked person, his body is not wicked. His mind also is not wicked. But that part of the mind which is possessed by those evil thoughts, that is what is the creator within him. So we are, every creature is creating, recreating itself, whether the future is bright or dark, good or evil, meritorious, non-meritorious, depends upon our present karma. This idea is deeply related with this karma siddhanta. This is what the Lord is telling. Ishvara also is karta. His business is creation, maintenance and destruction. Within that creation, maintenance and destruction, we as individuals also follow. And in fact, if we have to understand it properly, that how does Ishvara create this world? World means it is consisting of people like us, animals, trees and particular circumstances. So it is said Ishvara independently does not create anything in this world. If my karma is to be born in India, he creates a place called India so that I can exhaust my karma phala. Within India, who are the right parents? How my body, the exact instrument to exhaust my past karma phala, is created. And that is why some are healthy, some are unhealthy, some are beautiful, some are not beautiful, some are very intelligent, some are not intelligent. This is not the creation of Ishvara. This is we are creating our own selves. Then what is the role of Ishvara? He is called Vishkarma, the supervisor of karma phala. Karma, he leaves it to us. Karma phala, it is dependent upon our karma. But he is the one who overall looks and places each one of the creatures in the exact right place so that we can experience our own karma phala. The answer is, what is karma? Creating our own bondage, our own liberation, and that is called karma sanghitaha, dwelling in each body. The Supreme Brahman alone exists in every individual body as the Pratyagatman, the ego, the inmost self, known as Adhyatma. At the culmination of the spiritual discipline, this inmost self is realized as one with Brahma. Here it is called Adhyatma, means that which dwells in this body, that is called the Jiva. This Visargaha means offering, the offering, etc. What is the offering? According to the Vedas, the offering of oblations to the gods brings about the birth of all creatures. The oblations cause rain, and the rain causes food, and food causes created beings. The offering of oblations in sacrifice is called karma or action. This beautiful idea has been presented in a beautiful hymn called Purusha Sukta. There, the Purusha himself created the sacrifice, and he sacrificed himself. He became the sacrificial animal. Why? Because before the creation of the world, world is not existent. Therefore, he is the creator, he is the material cause, he is the efficient cause, he is the instrumental cause, he is everything. He himself is transforming himself through that act of sacrifice as if, that is the key word, not really, there is no real change, as if he became the world. That's why Vishnu Sahasranama, very first word is Vishwam. What is this Vishwam Jagat? Nothing but Vishnu. But we are not able to understand why, because we are covered up by a veil called Maya. What is this Maya consisting of? Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. So what is this Maya? Because God appears, three gunas appears as Nama and Rupa, the Brahman, as it were, is hiding like an actor behind that particular dress. And if the same actor puts on the dress of Duryodhana, we do not recognize that man. We say he is Duryodhana. When he puts on Rama's dress, we call him Rama. Very funny conclusion can be brought here, that when God puts on the dress of Rama, he is called Rama. Then his Vaishnavas, Rama Bhaktas, worship him. But the devotees of Shiva, they hate this idea. But if the same God, Ishvara, puts on the dress of Shiva, then the Vaishnavas hate him. Whom are they hating really? They are hating the dress. Of course, they cannot hate God, because God is beyond love and hatred, but they are mistaking God for that particular dress. How? You see, very interesting thing has happened. Some years back, a great film was taken called Ramayana. And there some North Indian actors had acted there. So what happened? The whole North India had gone mad. And these actors and actresses were considered as real incarnations of Rama, Sita, Hanuman, etc. Once, I think in Delhi, these actors, you know, there was no dress in their normal way. They were going, and unfortunately at that time they were smoking. And the fans immediately recognized them, started throwing stones. What is this? We worship you as Rama, and you are smoking, Rama smoking cigarettes. This is a horrible idea. To that extent we mistake people. All these are like a skilled actor. Same actor. Remains the same man, but puts on various dresses. That is what Sri Ramakrishna is telling. Every form belongs to God. Every name also belongs to God. There is absolutely no difference at all. If we can become a little more enlightened, behind every body, behind every mind, behind every manifestation, there is that only one reality called existence, knowledge and bliss. So what is sadhana? To get rid of this veil which makes us see the names and forms and then get beyond these names and forms, rediscover the reality behind these names and forms. Vidyaranya, in his great Panchadashi, had put it so beautifully. What is Prapancha or Jagat? Brahman with Nama and Rupa. He put it this way beautifully. What is Brahman? Asti, Bhati, Priya. What is the world? Asti, Bhati, Priya plus Nama plus Rupa. What is world? Asti, Bhati, Priya. Existence, knowledge, bliss. With Nama and Rupa. Under the cover of form and name. What is Brahman? Asti, Bhati, Priya from the Jagat. Remove Nama and Rupa. So, Asti, Bhati, Priya, Nama, Rupa is Jagat. Asti, Bhati, Priya, remove Nama, Rupa, that is called Brahman. This is the only difference. If only we are intelligent to understand this fact, then we can see people need not quarrel about what we call religious differences, language differences, etc. That was the great truth Ramakrishna had incarnated to preach. Everybody is worshipping God, but with different names, different forms, and with different qualities. Further, the Lord is telling, Adibhutam Kshara Bhavaha Purushascha Adhidaivatam Adhiyagnohamevatra Dehe Dehabhrutamvara. Krishna is addressing Arjuna, Dehabhrutamvara. Some places he says, Naravara. That means you are the best among the human beings. So what is he telling? Adhibhutam. Arjuna asked the question, what is Adhibhuta? Kshara Bhavaha. That which is subject to destruction, decay, perishable. Everything that is perishable falls under the name of Adhibhutam. That is to say, every object that the seer experiences, all that is seen, all that is heard, all that is smelt, all that is tasted, all that is subject, all that is touched. That means whatever is experienceable object, that is called Kshara. Why Kshara? Take example, I am seeing a tree. 100 years back, this tree was not there. It is there now. Will it be there after a few 100 years? It will not be there. That is called, that which is subject to change is called Kshara. But in that sense, you know, are we seeing our body or not? Yes, we are experiencing our body. I am seeing my body. This body was small. This body is big. It was thin. It was stout. It was tall. It was short. It was beautiful. It was ugly. It was healthy. It was unhealthy. It was young. It was old. All these experiences are good. Are we experiencing mind or not? Exactly the same way. Oh, this mind is happy now. This mind is unhappy. Now it is very enthusiastic. Now it is very dull. Now it wants to jump up and down. Now it wants to lie down, etc. All this, I am experiencing it. Only after experiencing it, I commit the mistake of identifying. The mind is jumping up and down. That is experiencing it as a witness. Next millisecond, what happens? I become one with it and say, what do I say? I am jumping up and down. There is an angry thought. What do I say? I am angry. There is a happy thought. What do I say? I am happy. At first we are witnessing, after that we are identifying with it. So whatever is experienced, whatever is seen, that is called kshara. That means the entire experienceable world is called adhibhutam. Kshara bhavaha purushascha adhidaivatam. That which underlies all the elements is the perishable entity. And that which underlies all the gods is the Purusha, the cosmic spirit. And he who sustains all the sacrifices is myself, here in the body, O best of man. Adhibhutam, Adhidaivatam, Adhiyajna. These three are being defined now in answer to Arjuna's question. What is Arjuna? What was Arjuna's question? What is Adhibhutam? The Lord beautifully tells, O my dear Arjuna, whatever you experience, that is Adhibhuta. Whatever is experienced is temporary. Why? Before you experienced, it was not there. When you are experiencing, it is there. When you turn away your attention, again it has disappeared. We have to understand it from subjective and objective point of view. A chair, for example, see, it was not there, it is there, and it will not be there again. That is from the chair's point of view. From my point of view, when I don't see that chair doesn't exist. When I experience the chair, that means I am seeing it, I am sitting on it, and then that exists. And again, when I look at the shirt, then the chair is, thought of the chair is forgotten. That means it has gone out of existence. From objective point of view, from subjective point of view, anything that is experienced is called temporary. And whatever is temporary, that is called adhibhuta. That is what is called ksharaha. The 15th chapter also, esma ksharamati toham aksharadapi chottamaha ato lokesme decha purushottamaha. I am known as the Purusha, beyond both kshara and akshara. It's beautifully enumerated there when we come to the 15th chapter. This is the beautiful definition. Anything that is experienced is kshara, is temporary, ephemeral. To experience something, there must always exist somebody who is the experiencer. Without experiencer, there is no experience. And who is that experience? Is earlier he said, that is the Jivatma. Jivatma not as associated with the body mind, associated but not one, separate but thinks that he is the body and mind, but he is never the body and mind. Just like a screen is never the house, never man or woman that appears on it. On the screen we see a house is burning. Is the screen getting burnt? No. Then there is terrible rain, we see it. And does the screen get wet? It is never getting wet. Somebody is fighting with knives. Is that screen getting cut into pieces? Not at all. Our Atman, our awareness, is that unattached being, unattached consciousness, as though appearing that I am doing everything because of delusion. That entity is called jiva, individual, soul. And we are all under that condition. The Lord is giving beautiful definitions. Anything that is experienced is kshara. And anything that is kshara means that which is destructible, subject to destruction, ephemeral, is very temporary, that is called adhibhuta. And everything in this world that we experience is adhibhuta, because it is subject to birth, and for some time it stays, and then decay, and then destruction. Then, what is adhidaivatam? Within each one of us, within each one of our billions and billions of living creatures, there is only one being who is accepting. Let me give you an illustration. Once Sri Ramakrishna sat down for eating, and various dishes were being kept in front of him. And there was a devotee in whose mind a doubt has come that Sri Ramakrishna is great, but he loves to eat. This stupid idea, Ramakrishna is a realized soul and he loves to eat, these are completely opposed ideas. They don't go together. Because if you say he is a realized soul, he is not the body mind. If he is not the body mind, he is not interested in eating or smelling, etc. But if he is the body mind, then he is not the realized soul. This confusion very often comes, such is the power of Mahamaya. So that devotee was thinking within himself, Sri Ramakrishna loves various dishes. Then two experiences happened, probably to two separate devotees. So this one devotee, the same mental makeup, observing Sri Ramakrishna, and he thought Sri Ramakrishna loved the dishes. Sri Ramakrishna took up a dish and was about to put it into his mouth. Suddenly a big snake came from inside and grabbed that food from the hand of that person who is serving, from Sri Ramakrishna's hand, and it disappears. Sri Ramakrishna was smiling, looking at this devotee. And the devotee got first frightened, then he understood. Who was eating? Not Sri Ramakrishna. He who is within Sri Ramakrishna. That is an offering. Second experience was that Sri Ramakrishna sat down with a lot of side dishes in front of him, and the devotee is passing remarks. Sri Ramakrishna loves to surround himself with good, tasty dishes. Sri Ramakrishna, out of his infinite compassion, explained to the devotee, look, a natural tendency of my mind is to go to the impersonal aspect of God and be merged in Brahma. Create deliberately some thoughts, desires. I want to eat shukta, I want to eat some other vegetable, chachadi, etc. And I tell people, and with the help of those desires become like heavy stones, keeping the mind on this earthly plane, otherwise it will just disappear into deep samadhi. Continuously, I want to see this devotee, I want to hear that kirtan, I want to eat this thing, I want to see that place, I want to meet that devotee. He has absolutely no desires. Why? He is a realized soul. If he is not realized soul, he will have all these desires. He is a slave. But what is the difference? He is the master of his desires. Deliberately is creating these desires so that he can keep the mind down. Now what are we talking about? Within each one of us, it is the same Ishvara. He is sitting there. Ishvaraha sarvabhutanam hriddeshe Arjuna tishtati. So if I am eating, you are eating, a dog is eating, a mosquito is drinking human blood, these creatures do not know, including myself, that it is not I for whose sake food is going inside. It is for that being who is the real Rathi, who is the real rider inside. We are all drivers. This body is compared in Kathopanishad to a beautiful chariot. So our sense organs are all the horses, and the objects of senses through which these indriyas are running day and night, they are like the roads. And the mind is that reins through which we control the horses. This body is the chariot. But for whose sake? A real driver, he is sitting there. He bought this car and he employed this driver. And he is asking, I want to go there, drive me there. Of course, driver is also moving, car also is moving, wheels of the car also are moving, but they are completely, it is not for their purpose, for the purpose of this person who is himself. Who is within us? That Paramatma, in the form of Jivatma, he is sitting here, He knows I am Paramatma and he wants through all these sense organs to experience this world. It is for his sake he created these bodies and these sense organs and the sense objects. Everything is created for his purpose and he wants to enjoy this sport called this world. And unfortunately, we assume that we are the masters, forgetting that we are just the driver. This idea again, in that beautiful bhajan, Bengali bhajan, Ami Jantro, Tumi Jantri, Ami Ghor, Tumi Ghorani, Ami Roth, Tumi Rothi, Jaman Chalav, Timni Chali, Jaman Bolav, Timni Boli. I am the instrument, you are the mechanic. I am the machine, you are the mechanic. I am the house, you are the keeper of the house. I am the chariot, you are the one who rides, who directs this chariot. Whatever way you direct me, I move. Whatever you make me speak, I speak. This beautiful truth is being said here. Purushascha adhidaivatam, adhidaivatam. That divine being. And how many? Not many, only one. That divine being, that one divine being, that one kshetragna, but through these infinite kshetras, the instruments, that one Ishvara, for his own sake, he created. But unfortunately, because of Maya, we attribute the whole thing to ourselves. That is called egotism. And that is why we think, I am seeing, I am hearing, etc. Truly speaking, it is the Lord who is hearing, who is the speaking, etc. That is why it is called Shrota, Manta, all these things attributed to God. First we discussed what is called Adhibhutam. Any experienceable object is Adhibhutam. And in every being, the Divine Lord is sitting and manifesting. It is for His sake. All activities are going on, including eating, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, etc. Then, adhiyagnaha. What is the definition? Adhiyagnoha mevatra dehe. In this body, I am in the form of the yagna. What is this yagna? That he who sustains all the sacrifices is myself here in the body, O best of man. Beautiful word, I am adhyagna. Yagna means every activity is a yagna. Every activity is a sacrifice. What do we do? In a sacrifice, we lit the fire and offer ghee, flowers, fruits, sweets, cloths, and many things we offer there. For whose sake? We specify the name of a particular deity, saying Indraya Swaha, Varunaya Swaha. Or in our case, what do we say? Sarvadeva Devi Swarupaya Sri Ramakrishnaya Swaha Sri Sharada Deviyai Swaha Swami Vivekananda Swaha. So we are saying that, O Lord, all these are meant for you. Because of our ego, whatever activities we are doing, every activity is called a sacrifice. But it doesn't become a sacrifice unless we bring in the idea of it is for God we are doing, then it becomes a true yagna. But what is the reality? That every activity is a divine sacrifice. And every sacrifice and all sacrifices are only being offered to me. Through all eyes, who is seeing? God. Through all ears, who is hearing? God. Through every nose, who is smelling? God. Through every tongue, who is tasting? God. Through every skin, who is touching? It is God. And who is being touched? God. Because the Vayu Devata is also inside, he is Vayu Devata. Outside, he is Vayu Devata. Inside, he is Agni Devata. Outside, he is also Agni Devata. This concept that the whole universe is nothing but a true manifestation of God, but with names and forms, is being so elaborately described here, adhi yajnaha, every being, I am in the form of yajna, and who is the yajnapati? I am the yajnapati. Every activity, the result of every activity goes to me only. This concept that the performer is Ishvara and the enjoyer is also Ishvara, the karma belongs to Ishvara, karma phala also belongs to Ishvara. That idea is called karma yoga. That is being said here. Purusha means that being who invades the whole universe, pervades the whole universe. That means the whole universe is nothing but the body of Brahman, but under the cover of skin and sense organs, etc. So, O Arjuna, what is the essence of this? Everything you experience, O Arjuna, is called Adibhuta. And the one who is only one, the only one who is residing within infinite number of these vehicles, bodies, that is called Adhidaivata. And he is also the manifester of all the devatas between. Who is Ganesha? Parabrahma. Who is Saraswati? Parabrahma. Who is Lakshmi? Parabrahma. Who is Indra? Parabrahma. Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, Lakshmi, Saraswati, Parvati, Kali, these are all different manifestations of the same divinity. Why so many manifestations? Because it is like a governor, the president of a country or prime minister of a country, he wants to rule the country. It is he who rules the country. But he employs different types of people, different departments. If somebody needs this thing, he should apply to this department. If somebody needs something else, he should apply to the separate departments. Whose power is it? One prime minister's power. This idea was being beautifully explained again in the Taittiriya as well as Brihadaranyaka, the Surya, the Chandra, the Vayu, the Agni, they are functioning because of my powers only. Without my power, even death also is functioning because of Mrityurudhavati Panchamam. And who is giving light to the whole universe? Through the sun, through the moon, through the fire, through walk, it is I who is giving tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati. Only his light being manifested through the sun, moon and fire, etc., is lightening up the whole world. There is no fire, there is no sun, there is no moon, excepting me, they are powerless. This is the idea that is called Adhidaivata. And every activity is a sacrificial activity, provided we have that feeling that it is God who has given me body, sense organs, mind, and for whose sake I do not exist, it is for His sake. He created this world for whose sake? For His sake. He created this body as His instrument for whose sake? For His sake. That means the whole show called Jagat is only, it is Paramatma in the form of Ishvara, the form of Jiva, in the form of Prakriti. Nothing else exists. That is the essence of it. He answered 6 questions of Arjuna. Now what is the 7th question? That is, how can a person get out of this ignorance, bondage of Maya, and attain to you, become you, so that he will become completely free from all bondage? So what is the way? Practice, practice, practice the presence of God. Remember God all the time, so that when the time comes for giving up this body, the only dominant thought in your mind will be only God. For that we have to practice whole life. This is being expressed in the 5th shloka. Anta kalecha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yah prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshayaha. In the next verse also he is elaborating this one. First we will deal with this shloka. Anta kale means the last moment when the prana is about to give up this body. whatever thought is dominant, usually 99.99% the thoughts is, I have not been able to enjoy this world, and next birth at least I hope to enjoy. How do you think you enjoy? Oh, my neighbor was very rich man. If also I was rich man, I would have enjoyed that one. What do you think the neighbor is thinking? This wealth has brought me so much of unhappiness. My neighbor who was poor, there was no relative to trouble him. Nobody was scheming to murder him, and the family children not quarreling about their share of the property because there was no property. How peaceful that fellow lived his whole life. He had ample time to think about God, and my mind is constantly worried. So this fellow is imagining the other fellow is very happy. That fellow was imagining this fellow is very happy. Both of them in fact are not at all happy or peaceful. So the Lord is telling, antakalecha mam eva. At the time of giving up, throwing out this body, which is worn out, like a dress. Smaran, mam eva smaran. Only remembering me. Remembering means God is everything. God alone is the ultimate goal of life. Moksha is the ultimate purushartha. And by remembering God, by His grace, I will attain to that state of moksha. That thought must dominate at the last moment. Smaran, thinking of me, muktva kalevaram, having given up that body. Now what happens in our body, in our case, the body gives us up. We are clinging to the body. We don't want to give up the body. Even if the doctor comes and says that if I give this injection, you can live for another 10 minutes. Oh, please give doctor, I want to live for another 10. It is great reluctancy, a great dislike, we want to give up the body. But this person, who has better knowledge, that as soon as I give up this inadequate, dirty, useless body, I am going straight to go to God. Who will not want these things? So, muktva kalevaram, giving up this body, that means he is the master, kalevaram. What happens? Yah prayati. He who succeeds in giving up this body in that particular manner. What manner? Remembering me only. What happens to him? Saha, such a devotee, such a spiritual aspirant, madbhavam yati. That means he attains my nature. Here bhava means my nature. That means he realizes I am God, I am Brahman. Nasti atra samshaya. There is absolutely no room for a shred of doubt in this case. Bhagavan himself is telling, you have to remember. But there is a condition. Who can remember God at the last moment? A fellow who is immersed in worldly activities until the last moment is not going to remember God. He will only remember what he was interested in and devoting his whole life. So he is telling, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram tam tame vaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. For whatever object a man thinks of at the final moment when he leaves his body, that alone does he attain. That object alone he attains, O son of Kunti, because being ever absorbed in the thought thereof. Again, a very beautiful hint for all of us. If we want God, He should be the object of our desires, our goal. No second thought. I want God, I want as well as the world. Or, I want God and I want also some other wealth, etc. No, I want only God, because if I attain God, I have attained everything. If I have not attained God, I have not attained anything. Because wealth is God, beauty is God, strength is God, energy is God, inspiration is God, idealism is God. In fact, the whole world, the body, the mind, is nothing but Brahman, itnama and rupa. For whatever object a man thinks of at the final moment when he leaves his body, that object alone does that such a person attain, O Arjuna, being ever absorbed in the thought of thereof. Sada tad bhava bhavita. We'll come to that point right now. Yam yam bhavam vapi smaran. Whichever bhava. Bhava means thoughts. Thoughts means ideas. Ideas of what? There is nothing called thoughts without an object involved. You cannot think of a thought unless there is an object present. Suppose you say, I want to think of beauty. Abstract beauty cannot be thought of. Beauty of a flower, beauty of a sunset, beauty of a beautiful river, mountain, beautiful baby, beautiful mountain. There must be some object. Beauty is a quality, guna. A guna cannot exist without a substance. Therefore, here, whichever object a man thinks of, at the final moment, such a person attains smaran bhavam, thinking of that, yajati ante kalevaram, a person gives up this body. Here, important point is, he gives up the body. In other cases, the body leaves him. He has absolutely no control. That's why he weeps. But a person who is in control says, I am done with you. I don't need any of you. Now you get out. That mastery comes only by totally relating oneself with God. I belong to God. I have nothing. I don't belong to you. That's why family, world, friends and properties, nothing belongs to me. And the only being who belongs to me and who to whom I belong is God. That means he is thinking of God. Such a great soul, if he is thinking of God, how? Only when he has practiced thinking of God, God as the sole ideal, sole goal from a long time, janma janmantara, such a person, after many births, he becomes a lover of God, true devotee of God, and he understands God, he desires only God, and everything else he doesn't desire. And such a person only earnestly prays, and by the grace of God, he remembers at the last moment only God. So he gives up the body, yajati ante kalevaram, tam tameva yeti kaunteya. Such a person attains that particular object. What do you mean by that particular object? It is like this. Most of us are devotees. We do not think para brahma, but we think of God in terms of our ishta devata. Rama bhakta thinks of at the last moment what? God as Rama. Krishna bhakta thinks as Krishna. Christ bhakta thinks of as Christ. Saguna brahma. And he becomes one with Saguna Brahma. And by the grace of Saguna Brahma, he attains Nirguna Brahma. It is not that his sadhana is incomplete, he doesn't get mukti, and because he has not thought of Nirguna Brahma, he did not attain to what is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi. No. Every devotee firmly believes that bondage, liberation, both lay in the hands of my Divine Mother, and that Divine Mother is thought of in various forms as Saraswati, Lakshmi, Shiva, Kali, Rama, Krishna, Christ, Buddha, etc. This is Hinduism's greatest contribution to the world religions. The truth is one, and people choose to call it by various names. Through this form, God with certain form, and thinking of Rama, etc., he attains the being of Rama. And what is the nature of Rama? He is none other than Paramatma. But foolish devotees, when neither doing sadhana nor having even enough grey matter in their brains, think that people only attain to certain state, and after a long time they are going to attain to that highest truth. What is the truth? Is bondage and liberation both are in the hands of only Ishvara. Brahman has nothing to do with it because Brahman doesn't even know you exist. It is only Ishvara who knows that you exist. That is what Sri Ramakrishna used to name as my divine mother, Shakti. What is the condition to remember God? Sada, all the time, unceasingly, tadbhava bhavitaha. One should be colored, one should be completely merged in the ocean of the thought of God in a particular feeling. 2 points we have to note down here. The first point is, mind can think of only a limited being, and even the highest Brahman thought by God is called Saguna Brahma, not Nirguna Brahma. Nirguna Brahma cannot be thought of by the mind, not possible. You can use the word, but you don't mean it really. The second point, every bhakta firmly believes that anything is possible only for God. So he prays to God, "O Lord, please make me think, remember you at the last moment. Remove all my desires from my heart. It is only through your grace, because it is your maya," which was explained beautifully in the last chapter. Daivi hesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva e prapadyante mayam etam taranti te. So important points to be noted in this 5th and 6th. First, whatever thought dominates a man's mind at the time of the departure of the body, his next birth is totally dependent upon. Second point, ordinary worldly person is dominated by the object, sense objects. He doesn't give up the body, his body gives him up. Third point, a spiritual aspirant, a bhakta, he, by the grace of God, he becomes the master. He gives up the body and joyfully looks forward to a higher state that is called God, the thought of God at the last moment. The fourth point is, in order to remember that God or obtain God's grace, he must constantly repeat God's name, pray to God and practice surrender, self-surrender to God, and he must never give up that idea that it is whatever happens, that is only by the grace of God. If I attain God, only by his grace. But on the part of the person, he must go on practicing it. Sada tadbhava bhavitaha. You become one with that thought. You become colored with that color. You become merged. Like Sri Ramakrishna used to say, that a sweet, put it in a sugar syrup, it becomes sugar itself. Like that. Therefore, the Lord is further advising Arjuna, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha mayyarpita manobuddhihi mameva eshyasi asamshayaha. Once more, the Lord is giving hope. All of us. What is he saying? Therefore, at all times, constantly remember me and fight with your mind and understanding absorbed in me. You will surely come to me. Beautiful. Tasmat. Therefore, why therefore? If you wish to think of me and give up the body, if you have that desire and you will attain me, if you want to have that state, sarveshu kaleshu, at all times, mam anusmara, go on remembering me. And then he is also telling, if I go on remembering you, what happens to my duties? Yudhyacha, you fight. Fight doesn't mean, it has 2 meanings actually. At that moment, when Krishna was advising Arjuna, Arjuna was supposed to fight. Therefore, he was telling, this is your duty at this moment. This moment, forget about going home, taking rest, do practicing charity, and now it is your duty to fight, not for your sake, but as an offering to God. This is called Karma Yoga. At this moment, it so happens that it is taking part in a battle as the commander-in-chief. But this word yuddha, fight, means whatever duty you are discharging, your mind wants to attribute, I am the doer, I am the knower, I am the enjoyer. You have to fight that tendency all the time and say, God is the doer, God is the enjoyer, I am just the instrument. This is called karma yogitva. This is one meaning. The second meaning is, this constantly in our mind, in our heart, two ideas are fighting from the time of creation. One idea says, I am divine. This, I am potentially divine. Another idea says, no, no, you are a stupid fellow. You are a human being. You have got a body. You have got a family. You have got a country. You have got a religion. You have got a language. You are a citizen. So identify yourself with the body mind is one force. No, no, no. You are not body mind. You belong to me. I am divine. I belong to God. Another idea. This is called spiritual warfare. Constantly, the spiritual warfare is going on all the time. What is the way? Remember me and do your sadhana and discharge your duties at the same time, because duties are a hindrance if you don't remember me, but they are the greatest help when you truly remember me. Therefore, you control your mind so that it will not go here and there. Buddhi means here that firm understanding that God realization or moksha is the only worthy goal. There is no other goal, not even dharma, artha and kama. To make this mind firmly determined that do not oscillate. Is there any other goal? No, no other goal. Once it is, the goal is determined, you have not reached it immediately. To reach that one, you have to fight. That is where the mind comes. Mind, manasa, vacha, karmana, padbhyam, hastabhyam, udarena, sishna, yatkritam, yaduktam, yasmritam, tatsarvam, brahmarpanam, maam madiyancha sakalam, brahmarpanam, bhavatu, swaha. Everything, it all belongs to the divine prakruti. Prakruti. The whole world is made up of prakruti. Control your mind and be firm decisioned. For decision, I want only God and nothing else. And you offer both your mind as well as your buddhi to me. Mayi arpita mano buddhi. And always remember me, discharge your duties, remembering me, to worship me, to please me. If you do that, at the end, nasamshaya, without the least bit of doubt, mameva eshyasi. You attain, definitely, I am guaranteeing you, you attain only me and nothing else. So the Lord is telling now, answering the seventh question. What is it? You are capable of remembering me only while you remember me all the time. To remember me all the time, you must have that firm decision that I want only God. And you have to practice remembering me all the time. You have to attribute everything to me. And you have to remove that idea, I am the knower, I am the doer, I am the experiencer. And only through my grace, you will attain this. Keep it always. Pray to me, surrender to me. This way, ultimately, you will remember me by my grace and you will attain me. That is called moksha. And this is the best way for all the people in the past, present, as well as in the future. That is to say, the path of self-surrender and the path of discharging every duty, attributing everything to me, not desiring any result, accepting one desire, which is to attain me. And I guarantee you, at the time of death, you will only remember me. And this body you will be able to give up and you will attain. Forever you will be united with me, you will become me. And that is the state called moksha. Beautiful ideas, how all these things can be attained. Further, the Lord is going to elaborate, which we will discuss in our next class. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti.